This is Ozarks at Large for the 10th of November 2011. I'm Kyle Callums.
And I'm Ithi Agnihotri Mudhokar.
Theater Square's annual Gala for Education, honoring Frank and Sarah Sharp and the Willard and Pat Walker Charitable Foundation, will take place Friday, November 18th at 6:30 p.m. Proceeds from the event will support the theater's annual outreach to 5,000 students and teachers. Tickets, location, or more information are available at theater2.org or 445-6333.
The Arkansas Department of Health and the volunteer Gaps in Service to Marshallese, based in Springdale, held a dedication ceremony yesterday to mark the opening of a new outreach clinic in Washington County. The clinic is designed to serve Marshallese migrants. Many are moving here from their remote island nation more than 6,000 miles away to secure jobs, education, and health care. Jacqueline Froelich reports.
The new satellite clinic's located in a freshly renovated 1,200-square-foot suite in the JTL shop on Emma Street in Springdale. It's been in the planning stages for 6 years. Several hundred people turned out for the dedication of the clinic in the shop's sunny atrium, most of them Islander men and women dressed in flowery frocks and sandals. Marshallese Church of Christ Children's Choir performed Islander-style gospel. Listening and smiling were Arkansas Department of Health officials, state and local leaders, and His Excellency, Jurelang Zedekiah, President of the Republic of the Marshall Islands.
The opening of this new outreach clinic is one of many positive developments that exemplify the true meanings of close and crucial relations between our two peoples and countries.
The culturally sensitive clinic has three staff workers who are fluent in Marshallese, two registered nurses, a Marshallese clerk, as well as a Hispanic outreach coordinator. Dr. Paul Halverson, Arkansas Department of Health Director and State Health Officer, addressed the crowd.
Sharing with family and friends a warm welcome for strangers and caring consideration for others. These are the values that are said to truly exemplify the Marshallese. And with that in mind, I welcome all Marshallese people to our new health clinic and know that our staff will share those values with you. Komol Tata.
Komol Tata means thank you in Marshallese. With permission and the providence of the Jones Center for Families Board of Trustees, the clinic's been located across from the hall from the community clinic at St. Francis House, which also serves the working poor. The volunteer organization called Gaps in Service to Marshallese, led by Springdale resident Grace Donahoe, formed a task force to build the clinic. Initial funding to remodel this space was secured by former U.S. Senator Blanche Lincoln in 2009 under a Labor, Health, and Human Services appropriation. Senator Mark Pryor, then Congressman John Bozeman, and U.S. Representative Vic Snyder also pitched in. A year later, a $237,000 grant was awarded to the State Department of Health Resources and Service Administration to create the clinic. Dr. Vic Snyder.
They have some special public health needs. And like most people, we want to go to health care where we're comfortable. And so this clinic will present a great opportunity for them to go deal with their health needs at a place where they're comfortable.
Many Marshallese are not accustomed to routine health care, and it's said they prefer to not discuss personal health concerns with people they do not know. So health department staff have gone to great lengths to cultivate special relations with Islanders here, including Dr. Joseph Henry Bates. The new clinic is being named after him. He's the deputy state health official and chief science officer for the State Department of Health.
Well, this clinic is a model of how we ought to serve people, particularly people that are underserved and who have difficulties with transportation. Transportation is one of the biggest problems that underserved people have all through Arkansas. We're moving this clinic right into their neighborhood. They can almost walk here, and I'm very proud of that.
Marshallese Community Outreach Coordinator Albius Lattier says the clinic will serve those without insurance, factory workers who cannot afford it, and especially children who were born in the islands.
And some of them, for the kid, for example, they're born at the Marshall Island and they cannot be eligible to be in our kid.
American-born Marshallese babies can enroll in our kids, the Arkansas State Children's Health Insurance Program. Marshallese were eligible for Medicaid benefits up until 1996, when the entitlement was revoked with the passage of health care reform, and many require special medical care. Marshallese have the highest incidence of tuberculosis, a lung disease, among Pacific Island nations, and due to consuming processed Western foods, many islanders suffer with severe diabetes and heart disease. A decade of U.S. nuclear weapons tests on their atolls in the mid-20th century continues to cause thyroid and other cancers, along with birth anomalies. And certain healthcare specialists believe because of the atomic tests, many islanders may be immune compromised. But now Ozark Islanders can find medical help at the new Joe Bates Outreach Clinic of Washington County, where the walls are painted ocean blue. Faux flowers and seashell palm frond weavings adorn the waiting room. And services rendered are paid on a sliding scale, with the bottom fee listed as $5. Michelle Green is one of two nurses on staff. She says the clinic does not provide primary care.
No, we provide immunizations. We're going to do WIC because we do have Marshallese interpreters available. We're also going to be doing STDs, and we're going to be doing communicable disease, tuberculosis, and we're a Hansen's clinic, so we're going to be doing Hansen's.
Hansen's is a chronic bacterial skin disease endemic in the islands. Now, the reason Marshallese are classified as migrants, free to enter the U.S. with only a passport, is because they are under a special compact of free association with the United States. The RMI government allows the U.S. to maintain strategic military operations on the islands in exchange. According to the 2010 census, 4,000 Pacific Islanders have been enumerated in Northwest Arkansas, and more are coming, with unemployment in the Marshalls nearly 40% and rising. That's why an RMI consulate was established in Springdale several years ago. Arkansas Marshallese Consul General Carmen Chongom, holding her 2-year-old daughter Madison on her hip, says she's delighted with all the attention to the clinic.
I am thrilled. I cannot say, no words can describe how I am pleased with the turnout. With turnout of dignitaries and even our Arkansas congressmen and senators and all the Arkansas State Health Department were here as well. And I am also pleased with our Marshallese community for coming.
In other states with established Marshallese populations, special funding is delivered under a U.S. RMI compact treaty to offset social service costs to migrants. For example, the state of Hawaii receives $13 million a year, but Arkansas, which has the largest number of migrant Marshallese in the world, gets nothing. Last year, the Arkansas delegation requested additional federal funding known as Compact Impact to offset public health care costs for Marshallese migrants in Arkansas. That decision is long pending. And last May, U.S. Republican Senator John Bozeman and U.S. Democratic Senator Mark Pryor, along with seven other congressional leaders, signed a letter to Secretary of State Hillary Clinton and Secretary of the Interior Kenneth Salazar requesting to enact a medical screening policy for inbound islanders, saying the current arrangement is unsustainable. No decision has been made on that regard either. RMI President Jurilang Zedekea declined an interview regarding these questions. Still, securing a federal grant to pay for interior renovation and furnishing of a new Marshallese clinic in the Ozarks is a welcoming start. But with no more federal support coming, continuing costs will be shouldered by the state of Arkansas, says Dr. Paul Halverson, director of the Department of Health.
And obviously, part of being in a statewide public health system, as we are in Arkansas, is being able to move resources from one place to the other where we have needs and we can make things occur for the people that are in greatest need.
And accommodating islanders will be critical into the future, given they will likely become environmental refugees. With climate change, some scientists expect seas to rise as much as 6 feet by century's end, inundating the Republic of the Marshall Islands. For Ozarks at Large, I'm Jacqueline Froelich.
The Arkansas Department of Health, based in Little Rock, operates 94 local health units in the state's 75 counties. Although the new Arkansas Department of Health satellite clinic is geared toward Marshallese residents, all are welcome to use the services. The new Joe Bates Outreach Clinic of Washington County is open from 9 until 5:30 Monday through Friday. For more information, 751-3630. This is Ozarks at Large. I'm Kyle Kellums.
And I'm Ithi Agnihotri Mudholkar.
Next on this edition of Ozarks, a story, Ithi, you prepared about Seven Hills Homeless Shelter.
Mm-hmm. Now, the recent 2011 Northwest Arkansas Homeless Point in Time survey said that 66% of the homeless in Benton and Washington counties are children 18 and under.
Two-thirds.
Yes. And 75% of people they interviewed were homeless for the first time. And, you know, this organization, the Seven Hills Homeless Center, it does its part to help the homeless in Northwest Arkansas. And it has a lot of interesting programs that I found out about from its executive director, John Woodward. And they had some interesting videos as well on their website.
Well, my name is Tammy Drain, and I'm 26. I was born in Fayetteville, lived in Fayetteville my whole life, never really moved away anywhere. I moved out of my apartment to avoid being evicted. With a newborn baby, and I was homeless, and I was desperate, and I had nowhere else to go. So I walked into Seven Hills. Ficasso has given me and my daughter a place to call home, something that I don't have to worry about, something less that I have to worry about, so I can concentrate on our future. And Ficasso Project giving me a house is kind of like a great big hug every day when I come home. It's kind of like that.
A video on the Seven Hills Homeless Center website features Tammy Drain, one of the many beneficiaries of the nonprofit organization that is headquartered in Fayetteville. According to Seven Hills Executive Director John Woodward, the center was established in 2000 to provide services that work toward ending cycles of homelessness for individuals, families, and veterans. Woodward says the homelessness situation in Northwest Arkansas is very troubling.
About 70% of who's homeless in Benton and Washington counties are actually part of homeless families with children. So obviously for a family with children to go through an episode, multiple episodes of homelessness, brings a whole nother level of societal consequences with that.
According to Woodward, a local homeless survey showed about 75% of those interviewed were experiencing homelessness for the first time. The Seven Hills Homeless Center runs several programs to help the homeless. The first is its day center that served close to 1,700 individuals last year. The day center helps meet the more immediate needs of the homeless, such as food, shelter, shower, laundry, and telephone services. An important constituent of the day center program is linking families and individuals with case managers who can connect them with other useful community resources and offer economic opportunities. The second program run by Seven Hills is the Walker Family Residential Community that provides transitional housing for individuals and families to stay in for up to 2 years while they work on improving their economic status. The program also offers permanent supportive housing for disabled individuals and veterans. Seven Hills works closely with U.S. Department of Veteran Affairs to provide proper services to the latter. Another program run by the Seven Hills Homeless Center is the Families in Crisis Accessing Services, Support and Opportunities, or the Ficasso Program. It was started 2 years ago in November of 2009 and has served almost 400 families, primarily in Benton and Washington counties.
prevent homelessness for families with children. So rather than allowing families with children to go into a shelter system, instead we keep them in their same apartment or house and allow them to work together work through their episode of homelessness by offering case management services that go toward teaching the family financial management skills, help them with some debt resolution, of course, turn jobs into careers, hopefully, work through having a healthy family environment, and, of course, teach tenancy skills to make sure, again, cycles of homelessness hopefully don't occur in the future.
The programs run by Seven Hills are funded in a variety of ways. In addition to the contributions received from individuals, businesses, churches, and other local organizations, the nonprofit occasionally also applies for foundational and federal grants. Recently, the Seven Hills Homeless Center received a $40,000 grant from the Walmart Foundation to fund rent and utilities for homeless families as part of the Ficasso project.
What we'll do is we'll ask families to, let's say it's a two-parent family and one of them has lost a job. We'll ask them to pay what they can toward their housing expenses, asking no more of them than 30% of their income to go towards that. And then the rest of the expenses we'll cover through the Ficasso project until they can increase their income to the point where they're able to cover those expenses themselves. So on average, we have families in our Ficasso project about 6 or 7 months, and they're able to make those gains and get back on their feet and be independent with the community providing support through a social network.
According to Woodward, the grant is one of the many community grants the Walmart Foundation offers to local nonprofit organizations. The foundation lets Walmart departments nominate community organizations for grants for up to $100,000. The ability to nominate local nonprofits enables Walmart associates and departments to support the organizations they think are most effective in addressing immediate concerns in the community. The Seven Hills Homeless Center was nominated by Walmart's internal audit department. Over the years, the retailer has supported other programs run by the center as well.
Our day center operations especially, and this is the second time that they've assisted us in the Ficasso project. So those are the largest two areas that they've supported us in. There's other smaller community grants that can be put together, and we had a department in the home office nominate Seven Hills for one of these small grants. And basically their idea with that small grant is to come alongside a new Ficasso family that is freshly brought into the program that is coming from a homeless situation, and to be able to help them with this mini grant, purchase household supplies and furniture and get them all set up in their new household. And so their team is going to come get them set and form an ongoing relationship with this family.
Woodward says the Seven Hills Homeless Center is now working on two upcoming projects that it hopes to launch early next year. The first project deals with transitional and permanent support housing aimed at homeless veterans in Northwest Arkansas.
The second big thing is Seven Hills is in the midst of putting together the region's first outreach program to the impoverished families and homeless families in the region. So we'll be concentrating on Benton and Washington County. And the easiest way I could explain it is we're basically going to take our day center and all of its services and put it on wheels, and we're going to take it out to the community and reach folks that, because of the lack of transportation infrastructure or because of a lack of knowledge of where to go, we're able to go and help find them and meet their immediate needs. So we'll also be doing case management and a lot of the other services we provide at the day center as well.
To find out more about the Seven Hills Homeless Center, log on to 7, as in the number 7, hillscenter.org.
This is Ozarks at Large. This week, much has happened or will happen. It's an election day. Crystal Bridges is opening in Bentonville. There is an Arkansas Razorback football game Saturday night. But I have to tell you, you don't know everything that's going on, perhaps, because Friday night at 7 at the Arkansas Yoga Center, an Aquarian Gong concert. And Larry Owensby will be at the gong. Is that the proper way to phrase it?
Yeah. It'll be an Aquarian Gong concert. It's ringing in the new age, the Aquarian age. It's going to be an exciting and fun time.
I'm going to ask a question I think a lot of listeners might ask right now is, what exactly is an Aquarian Gong concert?
It's going to be, we're ringing in a new age. The Aquarian age is going to be a really exciting time, and it's a time of more awareness by everyone. And if you were to go to one of the NASA sites and listen to some of those deep space recordings, it would sound exactly like good gong playing. Hmm. The gong is a very interesting instrument that it has a cleansing effect. It puts a person into almost an immediate meditative state. So a concert is just allow someone. There's not a lot of work involved. We do a little bit of a warm up and a little bit of a small meditation that kind of puts us in a really good state. And then we just relax and we absorb the gong vibrations, and it's a really an awesome experience to be involved with.
You mentioned that the gong can be meditative, but I have struck a gong once or twice. I remember once on the North Shore of Hawaii, you could take a right turn into a sanctuary and there was a gong. And while it was an interesting sound, I don't know how to make the gong meditative. You know, I mean, there has to be more skill than just someone like me picking up.
Well, yeah, anyone, you know, you can sit down with someone and show anyone how to play the gong. You might not know all the little idiosyncrasies of it, but, you know, you can show one how to play it. Most people associate the gong with the gong show.
Yes, and Chuck Barris, yes.
Yeah, that's all they really know about the gong. And it's there's very much more to that. The gong show gong was kind of, you know, supposed to be kind of irritating. And with good gong playing, it's entirely different. It's very much different. It's very relaxing, very, very calming, balancing. It's a cleansing thing. Everything vibrates at its own frequency. Rocks vibrate. We vibrate. And when the gong is played and we allow that vibration to enter the body, it's a cleansing effect. Anything that we're not using or anything that's negative, anything that's beyond the positive in the way of the thought process, and it releases blocks, it releases tension, it allows a person to just be and let normally in this country we don't allow ourselves the opportunity to just relax. One of the hardest poses you can teach in yoga is laying flat on your back doing nothing, because people don't allow themselves to do that. And with the gong, you allow yourself to be, just be.
Is a gong concert, can it work for helping anybody relax? You don't have to have previous intense yoga experience?
You don't have to have anything. Yeah, you just come, you be who you are, you just allow yourself the opportunity to go into a nice, soft, meditative state.
I would think Friday evening at 7 after a busy week would be a perfect time for a gong concert.
It's an excellent time to start a weekend.
How big is the gong that you'll use for the concert?
The gong that I use is a 28-inch Wuhan gong. It's a Chinese-made gong. It's got a lot of bass tones to it and pretty good resonance. And at the level that it's played during relaxation, It's very resounding. You get a resound out of the gong. When you strike the gong the first time, the vibration moves out, but it returns itself with a resound. And the mind it's kind of interesting, because the mind tries to interpret what's going to happen next. in anything we do. Mm-hmm. And in gong play, after a few minutes of hearing the gong, you're thinking, okay, it's going to be a double beat here, and it's going to be a deep tone here. And you know, after a few minutes with all the different sounds and resounds that happen, the mind just gives up and says, okay, I'm just going to go with it.
AYC, Friday night at 7, what should people bring?
Bring your mat if you got it. They have some mats there, and eye bags, teddy bear, just whatever you feel comfortable with to ring in the new age. And it's going to be a really fun, easy time, enjoyable time.
Not intimidating.
No, not at all.
All right.
And very nice group energy. So I think it'll be awesome.
And wear comfortable clothes, I would imagine.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
Larry, thank you so much for your time.
Absolutely. Thank you very much.
Larry Owensby is a certified yoga instructor. He'll lead an Aquarian Gong concert at Arkansas Yoga Center in Fayetteville tomorrow night, beginning at 7. It's Thursday, November 10th, 2011. I'm Kyle Kellums.
I'm Iti Agnihotri Madholkar.
Becca Baker-Martin is the features editor at Northwest Arkansas Newspapers. She's with us inside the Anthony and Susan Hoy News Studio.
It's a huge weekend in Northwest Arkansas, and I don't mean Crystal Bridges.
Nevertheless, that is also big. But
well,
what,
yeah, but yes. It's not as big as my daughter's birthday Saturday.
Of course not.
Yay.
Okay. That has nothing to do with anything. Today, we need to talk about the Flying Tomato Cabaret. Day two, back at Northwest Arkansas Community College in Bentonville. This is a fundraiser for the chamber singers who go all over and sing. But they came up several years ago with this kind of unique idea to do dinner theater where they serve the food and sing to you. Sounds like fun. $17 starts at 7 o'clock, and you can call 619-2237 for reservations. And there's a meeting tonight of the Herb Society of Northwest Arkansas, which is probably worth going to because Janice Neighbor, who is a master gardener and all sorts of other things, is speaking. It's 7 o'clock at the General Store at the Shiloh Museum in Springdale, and it's one of my favorite words, free.
All right.
So I have a question.
Okay.
Do you think tomatoes fly when we're not looking?
I don't know who they are, and I'm Becca Martin, and I'm leaving.
Thanks, Becca.
Becca Bacon Martin is features editor at Northwest Arkansas Newspapers.
And this reminder that we'll have live coverage of Crystal Bridges opening ceremonies from the Bentonville Square tomorrow.
From 11 through 1?
That's the plan. It's live radio, so
it'll be a lot of fun.
Yes. And we'll bring you the speakers. It's a Veterans Day ceremony and Crystal Bridges opening together at the Bentonville Square. Live tomorrow beginning at about 11 on KUAF. And that will include our edition of Ozarks at Large tomorrow. The Water Coolers is a show that employs original songs and comic sketches to poke fun at the routines of our daily lives. Live on stage in NWA will present The Water Coolers at 2 o'clock Sunday afternoon at the Arendt Center in Bentonville. Cast member Brooke Wilson recently spoke with Ozarks at Large's Antoinette Grajeda and provided a description of the show.
First of all, it's very family friendly, which is fun for everybody. And it's basically so much of the feedback that we get, and I would believe it to be true in the description of the show as well, is just it's something that everybody can relate to in some aspect of your life. You don't have to work in an office to understand everything that we do in the show. We have a number about, you know, having to sell cookies for your child's fundraiser and talking about how addicted we are to our phones and social media devices and things like that. Sometimes we like to say it's the sitcom The Office meets Cheers, but it's just sketch comedy and great musical parodies and some original songs, and it's just basically about everything that we go through every day to try to just make it through with a smile on our face.
So the inspiration comes from everyday life, but is it specifically the workplace?
Yes. Yeah, it is geared more towards the workplace. And we, you know, there's songs about the guy in the office who always seems like he's working but never really seems to get anything done, and different things like that. So it is a little bit more for the work environment, but it definitely tackles things. One of my songs is about you know, just not having quite enough time to make it to everything, your kid's soccer game and all the emails and things you still have to send for work and different things like that.
Now, you do have original songs and musical parodies and comic sketches. Are these things that the actors come up with on their own, or do you have a team of writers?
We have a team of writers in New York City. Tom Allen is the head writer and also the director and producer of the show. And he's been with the, you know, he created it. So he's been with it from its inception. And then Peter Brown, another one of our cast members, was in the Off-Broadway company, which was about 10 years ago, I guess. Some of the actors throughout the years have contributed. A girl named Mariah Grandy contributed a few songs here and there, but usually, for the most part, it's mainly our team of writers in New York.
And because your inspiration basically comes from everyday life, I mean, that's constantly changing. There's different things in the news all the time. So how often do you guys change your songs or your sketches? How often do they sit down and come up with new ones?
Well, they have the core set that we have. Some of those have been proven to be pretty timeless. For example, the fundraising stuff and the pretender, the guy who pretends to work in the office. But, for example, we have a song at the end of the show, towards the end of the show, about being on your BlackBerry. And it, you know, it went from things like it's hard to hold my pager to hard to hold my laptop and my Kindle. And, you know, we're able to, and some of those songs replace, you know, one or two words that now that makes it relevant. But we've also added a few numbers to the show within the last 6 months or so that have proven to be pretty great as far as the audience is concerned with reaction. And we're actually trying out new songs as much as we can as well, just to keep the material fresh, like you said, just about different topics that either we'll hear, you know, someone come give us feedback about or something that we think of on our own.
Do you yourself have a favorite sketch or a favorite song that you enjoy doing?
There's a few. I really enjoy, there's a song called Company Boy. That it's just about jealousy in the office, basically, and being jealous of the guy who seems to have it all in the office. But it's really lighthearted and a lot of fun. And then I have a song called One Rung Higher, and it's actually more of a ballad. As of everything is pretty upbeat. It's kind of the only ballad in the show, but it still has a very positive energy behind it. And it's just a beautiful song, so I enjoy singing that too.
And it started, correct me if I'm wrong, but this started with an off-Broadway run in 2002, and now you guys can travel around and do performances like you are here in Bentonville. Why is it that you think the show has done so well that you can tour to different parts? I mean, why does it seem to resonate so well with audiences?
You know, I think it really is just so universal. Everywhere we go, because we also do this corporately, which is a slightly different show, but it's more for a corporate, like a award show or sales meetings and things like that. So from sales meetings that we do corporately to the theatrical version of the show that we're giving to you guys in Bentonville, it is just, the writers have done such a good job over the years of just really honing into how real the problems we face are, and everybody can relate to it. There's a number that always does really well about being on a hold line for, you know, 10 minutes. And everybody has experienced that at some point, whether it be in a business situation or, like, you know, your cell phone or something, whatever your service is that you have to wait on a hold line for. And so Tom Allen's done a really good job with his writing of the material, and that he writes it so real, but it's also just a little bit, not exaggerated, but just with this little twist that it's still able to laugh at it and we don't have to take it too seriously. But it's everywhere we've gone. And we recently were just in the Kansas, in the middle of our nation. They've said the exact same thing that, you know, someone working in LA does. It's just so right on the money with everybody being able to relate to things like that.
And finally, why would you encourage people to come out to the show on Sunday?
I just really think it is a fantastic opportunity to get your family together and come see a show that everybody can enjoy, and you don't have to worry about, you know, language or inappropriate material. And it's just something that, as I said before, everybody can relate to, and kids get a really big kick out of it as well, just because there's so much energy and it's constant, you know, it's a big high energy show, and songs that people will recognize, but also very fun, well-written new material that goes well within the line of the show. But it's a really good opportunity for everybody to come out, enjoy a fall day, and get together with your family and come see a show.
Brooke Wilson is a member of the Water Coolers cast. She spoke with Ozarks at Large's Antoinette Grajeda yesterday. The Water Coolers will be on stage at the Aaron Arts Center in Bentonville at 2 o'clock Sunday afternoon. Tickets are $30 per person or $5 for students. More information is available at liveonstagenwa.com.
This is Ozarks at Large. I'm Kyle Kellums, and with me in the Anthony and Susan Hoy News Studio is Paula Sisk. Paula has compiled many of her poems in a new book called Rhyme from the Field and Farm. A little laughing will do you no harm. Paula, thanks for coming by.
Thank you.
You grew up in Oklahoma, right?
Right.
Native Oklahoman.
Right.
And
I was born just down the street at the Fayetteville Hospital, though.
Were you really? Just down the street from
right.
here? And But you grew up in Oklahoma.
Right. Been in Oklahoma ever since.
You didn't like Fayetteville that first day.
No.
Oklahoma, being an Oklahoman, really kind of forms a lot of your poems. A mm-hmm. lot of them are about the ground, the history.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's a mix of humor and history, I'd say.
Now, did you grow up on a farm?
Mm-hmm. My dad was an ag teacher / rancher, and my mom stayed at home with the kids until we got in junior high. And we were 3 miles out of town, so we were pretty well farm kids.
Where was town?
Westville, Oklahoma.
Yeah, just across the border, really.
Right. And I was 3 miles south of town in my childhood, and now I'm three miles north of town.
You moved 6 miles
right.
straight north.
I went to OSU in the middle there somewhere.
And that's where you met your husband?
No, we went to high school together and grade school.
Okay. And the two of you had a dairy farm for...
Mm-hmm.
Many
yeah,
years.
My husband's family established the farm in probably 1914, and then each generation's just kind of, that's been our sole source of income we're the third generation, and each generation's added acreage and improvements, and our fifth generation is living on the place. So.
Wow. Now, have you written poetry most of your life?
No. I wrote a couple of silly ones, like teenage girls do, you know, about how miserable they are, you know. And my mom found it and about croaked.
Teenage boys will write those, too.
Yeah.
They just don't tell
you. And then
you.
I think I wrote a really sweet one when my first child was born, and that was it. I always liked to read history or never could get into fiction. So this whole book is kind of that way. There's 137 poems, and 131 of them are true. So.
Well, okay, so if you wrote a couple when you were a teenager and wrote one right after you became a new mother, what spurred the 137 here?
Well, when you're in the milk barn by yourself, you tend to get a little, you feel sorry for yourself on a really hot day.
Mm-hmm.
And like last summer, in previous years, we've had some really, really hot days, and my husband would be out doing field work. And it just gets really boring, and it gets so hot you have to squirt yourself down the water hose to even stand it.
Yeah.
You've got 12 big mama cows in that little bitty barn with you, and it puts off a lot of heat. So one day I was just nearly out of it, and I realized that the rhythm of the milking machines was kind of like a metronome.
Uh-huh.
And I thought up one, and it was so goofy I had to throw it away. And then they just kind of kept coming after that, and it became a hobby, a way to make – I got to where I enjoyed going to the milk barn. Looked forward to it.
Because it would serve as inspiration or just time to
– Just something to do with your brain while you're – we'd been milking for like 30 years when I started writing the poems, and we milked for 35. And it just made the last 5 years a lot more fun.
Do you mind reading one? Were these all then written in
right.
the milking barn?
Almost all of them. I'd think of a line or two, and then I'd go home and finish it. But I had just started taking scraps of paper to the barn so I could write while I was milking.
Well, I love the poem Never Say Never.
Oh, okay.
Because you reach a certain age and you realize.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Never say never. I said I'd never call my husband dad. Now I do. I said I'd never dye my hair. Just please don't make it blue. I said I'd never talk baby talk to the grandkids. Goo goo. I said I'd never let them call me granny, but now I do. Never say never. It will happen to you.
I will point out to listeners, you do not have blue hair.
No.
You do not. It's just so amazing that it just sort of lifted, that this,
mm-hmm.
and then you just, it seems like couldn't stop.
Yeah, I kind of felt like
God felt sorry for me. I was about to turn 50.
And so you needed a new
hobby? Really needed something to help my brain along, so he just kind of gave me that.
I'm talking with Paula Sisk. Her book is Rhyme from the Field and Farm, poems that were written mostly in a milk barn near Westville, Oklahoma. When did you decide that these would be put together in a book?
Well, I got the desire to save them for my grandkids, and so I printed 100 copies on the home computer and had them
bound.
Yeah, had them bound and gave them away to friends and relatives and to a few people that were near strangers, and I got really good reactions from the near strangers, so then I decided I saved a few back just to, on the wild whim, I might get it published professionally. And I sent one to Tate Publishing, and they liked it. So that's how it happened.
There you go. What did your family think when you started?
Oh, they were all excited. My daughter, she made me cry when we got it all finished. She said, "You know, Mama, your great great grandkids are going to know you just as well as your grandkids do, because they'll know just what your life was like."
That's true. That there is a lot of your life in here. I mean, the everyday, mm-hmm. and what you observe.
Mm-hmm.
If you're from Oklahoma and someone from outside of Oklahoma meets you, a subject that comes up almost inevitably is tornadoes.
Mm-hmm.
Oklahoma has, you know, Tornado Alley. And you address the question of when people ask, why be there?
Mm-hmm. Living in the alley, trees start to dance and bow. Dirt's gonna blow. It's time for the oaky weather show. Black clouds rolling in. Time to gather up the kin. Find that Frady hole within. Leaves fly by, a spiral in the sky. Oh me, oh my, lightning makes me pray if I ain't prayed before, while thunder shakes me to the core. With its mighty rumble and roar, you get an adrenaline rush. Rain comes in a gush. Soon the ground turns to mush. People ask, what do you live in Tornado Alley for? Well, there are cattle on fields of green, wading in a rocky stream. Rodgers and Hammerstein's song, winters aren't too long. A big dew, a morning when new, an eagle flying over me while hawk rests in a tree. Oklahoma is my home. I never was much to roam. Our man Will, a state history with thrill. Coyotes howl, baby calf nursing mama cow. The flight of the scissor tail. At 74965, I'll always get my mail. Dogwood and red moon buds spring bloom. Lots of living room. Reba, Vince, Garth, Carrie, and Patty Page, bringing the world music for any age. Geographic variety. Everything from desert to a swamp with cypress trees. Our abode on a rural road. Though the weather may be bold, Lord, let me in Oklahoma grow old. People ask, what do you live in Tornado Alley for? All of the above and more.
I really like that. That's great. And now, of course, recently earthquakes. Will that inspire a poem?
I don't know. I hope that doesn't happen again.
That was a little unnerving, wasn't it?
It was.
And you were closer to it, so I'm sure it rolled more. The book is Rhyme from the Field and Farm, subtitled Little Laughing Will Do You No Harm. People can find it online, correct?
Right. Mm-hmm.
Also at local bookstores and mm-hmm. then at the library. Rogers, Sunday the 13th, 2 until 4. Fayetteville, Saturday the 19th, beginning at 10 a.m.
Right.
Paula, thank you so much for coming
in. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Circle of Life Hospice presents the 11th Annual Voyage Gala Classic Hollywood, Glitz, Glamour, and Entertainment on Saturday, November 19th at 6:30 p.m. This fundraiser will be held at the John Q. Hammond Center in Rogers and will feature dinner, dancing, and more. Tickets and more information are available at voyageforhospice.com.
This is Ozarks at Large. I'm Kyle Kellens. With me in the Anthony and Susan Hoy News Studios, Jody Beznoska. She is the Executive Vice President for Communications? No, wait.
Executive. That's, I like that.
Do you like that?
You just added that to my name. I think I need to ask my boss if I can have
okay.
that name.
Vice President.
Vice President.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, in our hearts, you're an Executive Vice President.
Well, thanks.
Okay.
That's awesome.
This is a big week.
Oh, this is, isn't this a just an exciting week? We were just talking about, of course, what everybody's talking about with Crystal Bridges opening up on Friday. But, man, it is really, really fun to think about what we're going to get to see and experience over the next couple of months.
Nobody has to wait long for Rock of Ages.
No,
that's coming.
That is coming. Actually, on Saturday, before we get to Rock mm-hmm. of Ages, if you're having an art day, mm-hmm. I would continue the art day with us. At 2:00 on Saturday, we'll have a program for kids called Harold and the Purple Crayon in the big hall in Baumwalker Hall. It's a dance show, but it's based on the beloved children's book, Harold and the Purple Crayon. Harold, the story of the book is just so charming. Harold is imagining that he wants to take a journey, and so he takes his crayon and he draws himself a journey, which is kind of appropriate mm-hmm. when you think about big museums opening.
Right.
And what's wonderful is the crayon takes him, he draws wherever he wants to go, and then it takes him home. And this piece is going to do a dance-based interpretation of that. It's a beautiful, beautiful way to introduce young children to dance in a way that they will understand and in a way that will capture their imagination. But I also think this is going to be one of those shows where the parents and the adults in the audience will probably come away with a pretty nice sense of wonder also, because it's just such a beautiful imaginative story. So that's Saturday, 2:00, I believe, mm-hmm. In Baumwalker Hall. That evening, we will have Hubbard Street Dance,
right.
who are the folks doing Harold and the Purple Crayon. We will have them performing in Star Theater. Right now, there's no tickets available for that. Mm. It's a small show, but if you really want to come, you can come to the box office and get in line and see if something opens up. But what I learned about this performance is this is going to be a kind of a studio performance. So it's not going to be a fully mounted dance concert. It's going to be more like you're observing dances in different stages of their life.
Oh.
So you might see some dances where they're in rehearsal clothing.
Oh, I see.
You might
I see
some where they're in full costume. You might see some that are just in development and are not being performed in, you know, in a main public work yet. So it's going to be fun. That's Saturday evening at 8. And then Sunday on the 13th, the UA Fall Choral concert is happening. And then we get ready for Rock of
then
Ages.
Rock of Ages.
Then Rock of Ages. November 15th through the 20th, a full week of performances, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, two shows on Saturday, two shows on Sunday. If you like 80s rock, hair bands, Styx, Poison, Journey, Whitesnake, if you like it, you must come see this show. I've been watching a video and remembering seeing it in New York and just laughing because it's so much fun. And there's, you know, there are tickets available for all shows. And, you know, I have a feeling this is going to be a show where there's a lot of last-minute purchasing. Mm-hmm. So if you know you want to come, well, I would get your tickets now. That way you'll get better seats if
right.
you do it now. So that's next week. And then on the 21st, the UA Wind Symphony will perform. Then we're off for a little bit for Thanksgiving. Believe it or not, can't believe it's Thanksgiving. And then on the 29th, we have the UA Inspirational Singers. And then from the 3rd through the 5th, there will be a whole host of university choral programming in the hall. Three or four different concerts over the course of those 3 days. And then the next program for us is on the 7th, we have Kenny Rogers.
Oh, that's right. And that's a Christmas?
That's a Christmas
tinged?
And hits
right.
show. So he will basically, the way I understand it, he will do a set of hits and he will do a set of Christmas. I have to admit, I'm pretty excited to see Kenny Rogers. my parents, you know, the Islands in the Stream mm-hmm. and the Gambler and all those classic albums, that's what we listened to. Loved it. So that's on the 7th. That's an 8:00 show on the 7th. And then the following, that weekend, Theater Squared opens their Christmas performance
right.
of It's a Wonderful Life, which will be fantastic. It will run for 4 weeks, and it will run actually through the Christmas holiday, which is a great thing. We'll have some theater
right.
to go to on the break. On the 9th, we will have in the Starlight Jazz Club, we will have Anat Cohen.
Mm-hmm.
We'll talk more about her later, but she's a wonderful musician. And that'll be a small performance in Star Theater. And then on the 10th, the Symphony of Northwest Arkansas will do their Christmas Pops concert. And then we have some kids shows coming up. And on the 15th, we'll have Manhattan Transfer also doing a Christmas-themed show. So it's time to start thinking about Christmas content already. I can't believe it. But what a fun couple of weeks and we have ahead for us, for everyone who loves the visual arts and everyone who loves, you know,
dance music, whatever,
country music, theater, Christmas. We have it all coming up in the next couple months.
443-5600.
Correct. Or waltonartscenter.org for tickets. And just come on down and visit us.
All right. Jody, thanks as always.
Thank you.
The final two home matches for the Razorback volleyball team take place this weekend, South Carolina Friday night and Florida Sunday afternoon, both in Barnhill Arena. Earlier today, I talked with Robert Paliza, the head coach of the Arkansas Razorback volleyball team. The last time he had come here was right before a five-game homestand, one that turned out to go pretty well.
Yes, really good homestand the last time around, and these are last ones, so hopefully we can make it 2-0 this time around.
And let's see, the last road trip, a tough loss, a tough five-set loss, but then a sweep of Auburn, so you've pretty good shape.
Yeah, you know, when you go on the road in the SEC, it's hard to win both. You know, now we got to, you know, as we keep going forward, we'll hopefully try to get a sweep down the stretch. But, you know, we were a little bit flat on Friday and couldn't get ourselves going. You know, toward the end, the ball just didn't bounce our way, but we recovered very nicely. The kids just showed great character, and we put a beat down on Auburn on that Sunday match. So very excited for our outcome on Sunday and the way our kids responded.
We've got two matches left in Barnhill Arena, one of them against a ranked team. How important is this as you start to look to postseason possibilities?
Well, you know, Friday's match is a must win. You know, we need to beat South Carolina. We're ahead of them in the RPI, and we just need to keep padding that win percentage, you know, for RPI purposes. And then, you know, as you keep building your resume, it's just like anything impressive you do to get a job. Well, for us, it's to go to the NCAA tournament. So beating a ranked team late in the season will certainly, you know, make that resume look very, very good. And I think by us beating Florida, that would put us in the NCAA tournament at this point. So I think down the stretch, if we get South Carolina and we're able to get one or two of the other matches we have at hand, I think we have a very good case of being an NCAA tournament team. And we're playing NCAA-style volleyball right now. I mean, I believe we should be in, but it's not up to me, unfortunately.
Finally, SEC used to have a tournament.
Yeah, we did. We used to have a tournament before we went to double round robin. And I think it was 6-7 years ago now. We went to double round robin. It's just better for the conference in terms of our strength of schedule to play each other more so the RPI goes up. And, you know, in result to that change, we've had the most teams ever going to the NCAA tournament since we made that change. So it worked. It's going to be interesting now with the addition of Missouri and Texas A&M. That's going to change our scheduling down the stretch here. Now that we do not have an even number because Vanderbilt does not have volleyball. So we have 13 teams. We'll see how we're going to manage scheduling, and we might go back to round and a half in a tournament. Who knows?
All right. Well, best of luck.
Well, thanks. Go Hawks.
Robert Paliza is the head volleyball coach at the University of Arkansas. The Razorbacks play South Carolina Friday night at 7, and Sunday afternoon they'll take on Florida at Barnhill Arena. Support for Ozarks at Large and KUAF comes from Rogers Historical Museum and Quilting a Memory, Friendship and Commemorative Quilts. This exhibition of quilts from the late 1800s into the 1900s will be accompanied by a hands-on activity for both children and adults. This exhibition will come to a close November 19th, 621-1154, or RogersArkansas.com/museum for more information.
This is KUAF 91.3 FM Fayetteville, Springdale, Rogers, Fort Smith, Fort Chaffee, your NPR affiliate for the past 26 years.
And Ozarks at Large is a production of KUAF. I'm Kyle Kellums.
And I'm Ithi Agnihotri-Madulkar.
Please join Ithi, Antoinette, Jacqueline, Sophie, and
you
and me and Ty and others tomorrow as we bring you live coverage of the Veterans Day and Crystal Bridges opening from the Bentonville Square. Tomorrow beginning at 11 on KUAF.